Good morning, everyone. It's good to see everybody out. Another week to serve God. We have so much to be thankful for. A couple announcements before we get into the lesson. This Friday night will be the last Friday night out of the season, and they've changed the location to the park over by the football field. They will have supposed to have the hot air balloon glow. The football game going on the Friday night out at that location. So it'll be an opportunity for us to talk to people, share the gospel with them, and invite them to our services. We need to be praying for and talking up our gospel meeting. I've got some flyers in the back, and I'll have more back there later. The two meetings going on this week at West Carrollton and Inglewood. We should support them if we can, and check the times on the bulletin board for those. And then again, remember the last Sunday evening this month, we will have a service where all the men will have an opportunity to participate, to continue developing our talents and to get everybody involved in the service. Please open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 3. And we are going to look at the temptations of Jesus. And before we do that, I want to look at one other thing that ties in with last week, and it ties in with the lesson this week also. Last week, when I talked about what is our responsibility to the local church, and I talked about the difference between the local church and the universal church, and said that there is no organization in the universal church. God has put all the work, the activity in the local church. And here was an example of someone doing the opposite. This is on Facebook on the New Lebanon community site where they post what's going on around town. And someone had posted about the Churches of Christ disaster response team. And they were calling for one thing and another to help out with that. When I went to their this is their site on Facebook, the Churches of Christ disaster response team. Can we read anywhere in the New Testament about where the Churches of Christ unite and work together to carry out something like that? This is from their website, the response team, their vision, what they do, some pictures of their equipment that they take, their different things. Are they helping people and doing good? Sure they are. Is there authority to do that from God's word? There just is no authority. And then how you can help, you can use PayPal. They accept these different credit cards down here. You can give money to them. And again, just to point out the difference in the local and the universal church, and the patterns that you can read about in the New Testament, whenever there was a need, the need was taken care of. It was either by the local church taking care of the local members, or a church sending money to the elders of another congregation to take care of the benevolent needs. That's the pattern that we have. We have no pattern of a smaller church sending to a larger church, which is what so many do today, or some organization. Can you help people on an individual basis? Absolutely. But there's no universal organized Churches of Christ pattern that you can read about in the New Testament. The closest, well, not the closest, where that began in this country, I don't know what went on in Europe, but back in the 1800s with the invention of the American Christian Missionary Society, which split so much of the brotherhood as far as what could or could not be done, then these organizations started developing to carry out the work of the church. But God has given the work of the church to the local congregation to carry it out. And I mention that too because that will tie in with our lesson here, the temptations of Jesus. Chris read from Mark 1, the account there. And we'll look at that again a little bit later. But it's just to mention right off, it's interesting where it talks about him. Well, I just turned there now. He was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and was with wild beasts, and the angels ministered to him. It's interesting just thinking of how what these wild beasts would have been, and the angels attending to him. But we want to look at his temptations. And as I said last week, we'll spend a little more time and cover some things that we did not cover on our Wednesday evening class on this. But Matthew chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterward he was hungry, now when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "It is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." Again, the devil took him up on an exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these things I will give to you if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. We see here where the scene changes. It was read in Mark. We didn't read Matthew 3, but where it goes from the baptism of Jesus, the glorious scene of his baptism, and now he is led into the wilderness and engages Satan in spiritual warfare. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by God. This is the first contest in a continuing spiritual conflict. Luke 4:13 says, "Now when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time." Luke 22:28 says, "Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations." That's the King James Version. New King James says, "But you are those who have continued with me in my trials." Sometimes I think we might have the wrong idea that Jesus was only tempted three times. When you study the different accounts of this, it appears that he was tempted throughout these 40 days. But not only that, from Luke also, "You continued with me in my temptations." Jesus was just like us, where he was tempted over and over and over. Again, is it a sin to be tempted? No, it's a sin when you give in to them. But we are all in this conflict. Ephesians 6:12, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places." And though Jesus was weakened when he went into these temptations, Jesus resisted the temptations, and he teaches us how to resist temptation. James 4:6-7, "But he gives more grace. Therefore," he says, "God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Well, why was Jesus tempted? Why was he tempted at this time? from the reading, we see that he was divinely led by the Spirit into the wilderness for a special purpose. Matthew 4, 1, Mark 1 and 12. And notice he was led or driven into the wilderness by the Spirit. He was not led into temptation by the Spirit. He was led into the wilderness. Full of the Holy Spirit, temptations existed throughout this 40-day period. In Luke 4, 1 and 2, then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days he ate nothing, and afterward, when they had ended, he was hungry. So one of the divine purposes of this these temptations is to help us and to equip us that we can overcome them, and also to equip him as a merciful and faithful high priest. In Hebrews 2:17, therefore, in all things, he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. So by going through these temptations, Jesus can propitiate, he can relate to us as we are going through ours. And Jesus also had to fully experience all the allurements and temptations in order to help us with our temptations. Hebrews 2:18. For in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. How could he help us if he wasn't tempted in the manner that we are tempted? Is there somebody in the audience that's struggling with temptation? Jesus can help us. Jesus can help us. He has suffered just like we have, and he has gone through it. Jesus understands the suffering of temptation, and Jesus is able to aid us in our temptations. Again, Hebrews 4, 15 and 16. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in the time of need. And why was Jesus tempted at this time? Also to show his power over sin and Satan. This was the victory, signaling the complete victory that was to come, that was prophesied back in Genesis 3:15. Well, how was Jesus tempted? Jesus was tempted the same way that each one of us is tempted. James 1:14 and 15. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. So this was a time of intense desire for Jesus. Just think about this. He was in the wilderness and he fasted for 40 days. And Satan provided all kinds of enticements to unlawfully fulfill those desires. Jesus would have been experiencing hunger. Jesus would have been experienced the desire to manifest himself as the Messiah, the Son of God. Just think about this. He has just been baptized. The Holy Spirit comes down and lights on him. And the Holy Spirit, it says he's full of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit leads him into the wilderness. This is why he has come, is to be the king, the Messiah, but it's not his time, but it's a temptation. And then there's the desire to trust in God. There's a desire to rule over God's kingdom. This is, again, why he came, but He had to go through other things instead of taking a shortcut. And Satan will use innocent, righteous things to tempt us to fulfill them unlawfully. Is there anything wrong with wanting to eat? No. Was there anything wrong with Jesus wanting to be a king over the kingdom? There is nothing wrong with that. Was there anything wrong over wanting to put his trust in God? Nothing wrong with that. But how Satan went about tempting him, Satan wanted him to fulfill those desires unlawfully. Again, there's a desire to teach the gospel, a desire to carry out the work of the church. But Satan tempts so many people, so many places, to do it in a way without authority. We could teach the gospel by adding a kitchen and bringing people in, but there's no authority for that. So Satan tries to disguise the sinfulness of sin in the action. With the stones, turning them into bread. Just take these stones and turn them into bread. You're hungry. This would have been a misuse of his power. Jesus trusted in God to provide. And all of us should trust in God to provide. So Jesus didn't fall for that first one. So now Satan is going to work on that trust issue a little bit more. Oh, so you don't want to turn these stones into bread. You want to trust in God. Well, if you want to trust in God, throw yourself down from this pinnacle and he'll send down angels to snatch you up and you'll be safe. Again, Satan was playing on emotions and to do things unlawfully. Satan wanted to have him worship him, and he would have universal dominion over a kingdom immediately. Was Jesus going to be king? Absolutely. But again, it wasn't time. What's Satan saying here? Here's a shortcut. Here's a shortcut, Jesus. All you have to do is worship down, fall down and worship me, and then I'll give you all of these kingdoms that you see, and you can be king over them. When God wants us to do something, we have to carry it out and do it the way God wants us to. There aren't shortcuts to doing it. Satan's devices lessens the seriousness of the offense. In 2 Corinthians 2:11, we find, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. And again, that's what I was saying, the warning over and over in the New Testament to be sober-minded. Satan has traps and snares. He's crafty. He's deceitful. He'll tell young people, there's nothing wrong with dancing or going to these clubs or going to these activities. You want to be popular. You want to be accepted. He will tell people things to cloudy their thinking. What he's doing is just telling us lies that will send us to hell. Hearts can be hardened to the seriousness of sin. Hebrews 3:13, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Do our hearts become hardened? Sure they do. If we turn on the TV, if we watch TV every day, we see all of these ungodly things going on, sin being displayed in a way that is acceptable. It's going to have an effect on our heart. And it's hard even watching a good TV show, because it's going to have commercials every 5 minutes. and most of them are going to offer some kind of sin or something that is going to have an effect on our heart. Well, again, Jesus was tempted with a full range of temptations from Luke 4:13. In Hebrews 4:15, we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with their weakness, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Is there anything that we are going through that Jesus did not experience in some way? Maybe not the exact, not like we do in 2018, but he was tempted in every way as we are, yet without sin. And again, this was over and over and over again. Luke 4:13. Now when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time or a season. Jesus was the same as we are. We are the same as Jesus in the regard that when Satan tempted him and he left, Satan didn't stay out of his life the rest of his life. Satan kept coming back. He waited for another season, an opportune time, an opportune time. And when you think about that, when I think about Jesus, if I were him, I would have had a hard time with the discouragement. Just think, preaching to large crowds of people, and then a lot of them, they rejected him, they hated him, they wanted to do everything to silence him. You think about living with this group of men for 3 years, day and night, and when Jesus was praying for the cross that he was about to endure, and they couldn't even stay awake while he was praying. You think about when he went to the cross and died for them. And then what did they do? They went back fishing. Jesus would have experienced that discouragement. He was just like we are. Just like we are. Jesus, though, was tempted, yet without sin. How did Jesus resist this temptation? How did he withstand it? He remembered what sustains us, the Word of God. The Word of God sustains us. Matthew 4:3, when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones become bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Problem is, people don't want to live by the Word of God today. They want to live by their own ideas. Jesus faced the lust of the flesh, instant gratification. Satan tempted him over and over. Deuteronomy 8:2, "And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and test you, and to know what was in your heart, whether you should keep his commandments or not. So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." God's people were taught this lesson back under the old law, where he humbled them. He allowed them to get hungry, and then he fed them. He provided food for them. And what was the lesson he was teaching them? "Ye shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." We need to have that understanding and that humility. James 4:6-7 again, "But he gives more grace. Therefore," he says, "God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble." We need to trust God rather than ourself. We have our responsibility toward God to worship him and serve him. we have to be vigilant. 1 Peter 5:8 and 9. We have to have our eyes set on God. We have to have our eyes. If we have our eyes set on God, we aren't going to be setting our eyes on the world. 1 Peter 5:8 and 9. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. So instead of eyes full of lust, we have to have our eyes set on God. In Matthew 6, 22 through 24, he talks about the idea of our eye being single. The lamp of the body is the eye. If your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, the whole body will be full of darkness. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. One of the reasons we give in to temptation is we're looking at temptation with this eye and we're looking at God with that eye instead of having both of our eyes focused on God. We need to have that single eye. Well, some lessons to learn from the temptations. One of them, obviously, is the skill of Satan. 2 Corinthians 11:3, but I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Satan is very skillful. He's a skillful enemy. He's a deadly enemy. Eve was tempted, was deceived by his craftiness. Our minds can be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. And again, you look at the denominations today, their minds have been corrupted from the simplicity of Christ. He adapts temptations to our situations and our desires. Is Satan going to come down and give one big temptation to everybody here? No. He's going to have a special one for me, a special one for Ron, a special one for Nella, a special one for Carol, right on back. He is going to tempt us according to the situation and the desire, just like he did with Jesus. We need to learn reverence for God's will and knowledge of God's will. We need to appeal to Scripture. Psalm 119:11, your word I have hidden in my heart that I may not sin against you. Again, if we were in a physical battle and we had our gun, our rifle, whatever it is, we would want to know and be familiar with that and how to use that before we got into the battle. I heard a person give a lesson one time, and he was a soldier, and he was talking about the weapon that they used. And I've heard of people doing this, but he's one that I know that actually did that, where they would blindfold the individual and they had to be able to disassemble and reassemble their weapon with blindness. Why? Why did they have to learn that? So they were familiar with that weapon inside and out in any circumstance, anytime, anywhere. They were ready. They knew how to use that weapon. Friends, what's our weapon? It's this. Do we know it inside and out? Are we familiar with it? Somebody blindfolds us and we're thrown into a battle. What are we going to do? Let me take my blindfold off and find where I left my Bible. Where did I leave my Bible? I can't remember where I left that. Friends, your word I have hidden in my heart that I may not sin against you. We need to be sober, watchful, and resist Satan in the faith. We must go to Jesus when we are tempted. Hebrews 12:1-3, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. Friends, when we are tempted with something, who is opposing us? Who is opposing us? Most of the time, probably nobody. Nobody's threatening to take us to the cross when we are tempted. Satan just comes in. He gives us this false sense of security. He tempts us, and we give in to it. We need to look to Jesus. We need to go to Jesus when we are tempted. We need to remember that we can bear and escape temptation. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. God's not going to give us anything that we can't handle. And when we are in it, he's going to provide a way of escape. And you think about maybe somebody that's got an addiction to something, and there are lots of addictions out there. Basically, people have gotten so ensnared and wrapped up and entangled in sin. But God has a way of escape for them. He has a way of escape for all of us. But sometimes I think some people just aren't looking for that way of escape. They aren't looking for the way of escape. They are content and happy to keep doing something, even if they don't like it or want to stop. There is a way of escape, but they continuing that instead of changing that and fleeing from those things. Also, we learn that he knows our difficulties, and as our high priest, he offers relief from sin and temptation. He's the perfect high priest. He understands what it's like to be divine, and he understands what it's like to be human. Just think if he had not come down and lived in the flesh, and then we stood before him in judgment and we said, Jesus, you just don't know what I went through. You just don't know how I was tempted. You don't know how hard it was. But friends, Jesus knows just what it was like. He knows just how hard it was. And he set the example that we can overcome sin. We also need to learn to cast our anxieties of sin onto him, resist Satan, and remain steadfast. 1 Peter 5:6-9, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. If we don't humble ourselves, you know what? God is going to humble us. God is going to humble us. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. So when we think about even that, I can't point to somebody else and say, well, I can't overcome this. It's just impossible, because somebody else has overcome that. Whatever that is, somebody else has overcome it. Knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Sin is common to all. No sin is greater than another one. They've all cost Jesus his life on the cross. Satan is out to destroy every one of us. When we resist him again, he is going to come back at another time. So, when we look at the temptations of Jesus, Jesus refused to abuse his divine power. He could have done the things that Satan wanted him to do, but he refused to abuse his divine power. He did not tempt God, and he would not conquer the world by denying God. He wasn't going to take any shortcuts. He wasn't going to bow down to worship. And back in Matthew 4:11, noticed when he went through these temptations in verse 11, then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. After he got through these temptations, he was refreshed and comforted by God. And when we get through our temptations, when we overcome them, we will be refreshed and comforted by God. And that will give us energy and motivation to keep serving him more and more. Jesus showed his power and his ultimate victory over Satan. 1 John 3:8, he who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Friends, Jesus overcame temptation. We can overcome it. This has been a battle that's been going on back from the Garden of Eden. It was going on at the time of Christ. It's still going on today. How can we do it? We can look to Jesus, put his word in our heart, draw on the strength of each other, look to Jesus, because we do not want Satan to win. We do not want him to win the battle. Friend, is there anybody here this morning that is struggling with temptation where you need the help of the congregation? You need prayers. It's okay if you can't get through it on your own. That's why we have brothers and sisters to help us, to ask for the prayers. Or maybe you're outside of the body of Christ and you've given in to all of those temptations. When you've given in to those temptations and you've sinned, then you've separated yourself from God. You've separated yourself from God and you're in a hopeless, helpless state. And the only answer is to come to Jesus. Friends, is there anybody here this morning that needs to be obedient to the gospel invitation? If there is, please come forward now as we stand and sing.